Rhys Lewis is his name. I wonder if he's Welsh. He probably is with a name like that. Rhys Lewis. And I know the feeling. Before that, it was Lou Bega, member number 5. If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know on a Friday night, every Friday, we have our film and DVD review. And today is no exception. Mark Searby is with us today. We're both film fans, so we've been chatting away about stuff. I've been ordering far too many Blu-rays from Germany. I was just saying, it's amazing. You get these Blu-rays in Germany. You can't buy them anywhere else. You can't buy them in the US even.
It's such a strange situation, isn't it? You kind of think that they would be available in Europe because it's available in Germany. Hey, we should get it here in the UK. Yeah. But it just doesn't work
Well, you can get it on Amazon, you know, but it's more expensive. You can buy, like, I bought Sink the Bismarck. You're probably too young to remember it. Well, you are too young to remember it. It came out in about 1960 with Kenneth Moore, you know, very famous actor of that time. And it's now available on Blu-ray in Germany. And I think you can buy it on Amazon UK, but it's more expensive than buying it from Amazon Germany.
They just want your money.
Yeah.
They know you're an easy sucker, Keith. That's the problem.
I am. Anyway, on to business.
Yes.
Have you seen any decent films this week?
We've got, out of the three films I'm going to review, we've got two very good films. One stinker.
Okay.
Shall we start with the stinker?
Might as well.
Okay, so the Lego Ninjago movie. So, I was a fan of the Lego movie. I loved Lego Batman movie. So, I don't know what Lego Ninjago is, but it's a Lego movie. So, I was pumped to see this film, basically. The story, because I wasn't really sure of it, is about a young boy called Lloyd, who is shunned by everybody because he's the estranged son of an evil warlord. And he must seek to defeat his father with the aid of fellow schoolmates, who are also ninjas. Kind of bonkers, it's got to be said. Yeah.
Is this for the kids?
This is for the kids, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just coming up to half term, so here we go. This is one of the big kids' films. We've got another one next week. It is bonkers, but it's very confusing. For somebody like myself, who has no idea about Lego Ninjago, I don't know what it is or what it happening, how they fit into the Lego universe, why these school kids are ninjas as well. So it wasn't a good start for me, because I'm a bit confused by it already. Then only about 20 minutes in do they explain that Ninjago is the city. It's not a collection of ninjas or anything else like that. So I'm like, oh, okay, right. I've kind of got it now. And then what happens is we get this big opening set piece. And it's so busy with things going on that it's difficult to focus on the main bit, the main storyline. There's bits all over the screen and whatever else. I'm thinking, I don't know where to look. And at times it felt like the recent Transformers films. There was too much going on, basically. From there, the film does settle down a little bit, but I don't know what happens. All of a sudden, Lloyd and his father get forced together and are sent off into the woods. They're kind of captured and sent off into the woods, and some of the things happen, and I'm still a little bit confused as to what was going on. The thing with the Lego movies is they push the morals quite heavily. You know, these are kids' films, and they want to make it easy for the kids to understand the morals. In this film, it's no different. They push these morals constantly, which are, you know, love your parents, and, hey, don't let anybody tell you you can't do things you can do. Great morals, don't get me wrong. But I think they kind of get lost in the non-stop action and convoluted story and basically everything else that is going on around it. It's slightly disappointing to see them do that as well. But here's how I knew it wasn't going to be a good Lego movie. About half an hour in, as soon as they've gone to into the forest or into the woods or whatever it is, they show a river running through this forest. Well, this river is not made of Lego blocks. It's made of water. Now, the previous Lego movies ingeniously always used Lego blocks for everything. So if you saw water, it was made of Lego blocks. And you thought, that's a very clever trick. This was just standard CGI water. And it all just felt a little bit like, I don't know, like it was secondhand. Like they hadn't really put the time and effort into this at all.
Yeah. You sound like you're a Lego purist.
Well, maybe a little bit. Yeah, possibly. Certainly in terms of the films, absolutely. So I kind of sat there and thought, how did the Lego franchise, which had been great for these previous two films, and the straight-to-DVD Star Wars films, they'd been great, get so bad here? And the crime this film commits, the biggest crime it commits is it's not funny. It is not funny at any point. And Lego movies are funny. They're very fun. This is not funny. It feels like the type of Lego movie that would have gone straight to DVD without any fanfare or anything else like that. You know, it would have been probably £5 in the supermarket or something. But because Ninjago is a big brand for Lego, they've put it out at the cinemas. Now, I did speak to a friend of mine who is, his kids are heavily into Ninjago, and he said he loved it. So maybe it's just me being a person who doesn't know Ninjago.
Maybe. Anyway, we'll have to see what happens with that one, because it's only just appearing now in the cinemas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's out today.
We'll follow that with interest to see how well it does. So, on to the next one.
Loving Vincent. This is a biopic with a twist about Vincent van Gogh, basically. The story is told the days and weeks after the death of Vincent van Gogh, and it's about a letter that he wrote that must be delivered to a next of kin.
Is this factual?
This is factual, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's part of the interesting story, is that we kind of know the story of the painter and everything else like that. We didn't know this part afterwards. So we get this kind of road trip story of the local postman's son wanting to deliver this letter to his son. He then goes on this big road trip of discovery for the letter and finding out these relatives of Vincent van Gogh. But also he finds a lot of things out about himself. You know, he's not really doing anything in life. His father's not particularly happy with him. So this young lad called Armand goes on this big voyage of discovery, and it is fascinating to watch because you're learning a lot about Van Gogh, but you're also learning a lot about those times in France that Van Gogh was living with. So there's a lot of history packed into it. What makes this a real standout is the way that it's made. It's filmed as normal, so with actors, and they've shot it as normal, but then what they've done is they've pulled in all of these, I don't know how to describe them, I guess you would call them painters, to paint over the top of the film in the Vincent van Gogh style.
There's something like that on YouTube, isn't there? Have you seen it?
Oh, no, I haven't seen this.
It's been on there for a while. In fact, I shared it on Facebook because it was so interesting. It was I can't remember whether there was a story or anything, but it was just a number of Van Gogh-like paintings linked together.
Brought to life?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I've got only vague memories of it. I remember doing it. I thought this is interesting.
Yeah, well, this is exactly why this film is interesting, because, you know, even from like the large big set pieces where it's just two women walking across the street and it's done in the Van Gogh style of these kind of like watercolor long flashes, or even the close-ups of the faces as they move, it's all so outstanding. Yeah. It's so incredible to watch.
This is the first time they've done this sort of thing. Is that
this
right?
This is the first time. They've ever done anything like this. I think there was about 300 people working on just the artwork itself. And just from that point alone, I mean, you could have put this film on mute and it would still be fascinating for the 1 hour 40. Yet this story as well involved is a really interesting story. It's one of those biopics you've never seen before. It literally is art coming to life before your very eyes. I was thoroughly impressed with this.
Must have been quite expensive to produce, I guess.
I get the feeling it probably was, yeah. I know that it hasn't got a massive release. It's, you know, it's in most cinemas, but I really hope people check it out because it is a film that's sort of piqued my interest quite a lot.
Yeah, it sounds intriguing. And the name again is...
Loving Vincent.
Loving Vincent, okay. Do you have another film or is it DVD?
No, DVD.
Okay, let's have a bit of music and then we'll come back to that. Phoenix FM, and that was, in fact, Blondie and Doom or Destiny. We've got Mark Searby in the studio with us. As of Friday, we've just been chatting about a couple of films, and now we're unveiling a DVD. Is it a Blu-ray and a DVD?
DVD, Blu-ray, online, digital download. Right. It's everywhere, basically. Yeah. Well, it is the big film. You know, it is Wonder Woman. This is, you know, the latest.
I remember the TV series, of course, back in the, when was it, 80s, 70s?
Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Linda? Yeah. So now we've got Gal Gadot filling in the boots of Linda Carter as Wonder Woman, basically. So we've had a rough time over the past 12 months with DC comics-based films. You know, Batman Superman was okay. it's not bad. There's still problems with it. Suicide Squad was possibly the worst film that they've ever released. The good news is with Wonder Woman, I think this is the best DC superhero film we've had since the Christopher Nolan Batman films. For anybody who doesn't know, it's the story of Wonder Woman, aka Amazonian Princess Diana. This is set during the early part of the 20th century. She meets US pilot Steve Trevor as he crash lands on her planet of Thermoskaya. Great name, I think that's a great name. After learning of the events of World War One, she decides to go back with him and basically fight in the war, and there she discovers her true powers as Wonder Woman. If you're not familiar with the story at all, so if you've never seen, obviously, the original TV show or the couple of other bits that they've done, the good thing is this film does a very good job of making a backstory. So you don't need any more information. You can go and watch this film and you can go, okay, by the 30-minute mark, I know most things about Wonder Woman. I know what's happening. And it makes a very good job of it. There's a lot of entertaining action set pieces. It's quite funny as well. Wasn't really expecting it to be this funny, but it does work very well. Then, when Diana heads off into war with Steve Trevor, it gets a lot more action-y and a lot more fast-paced, a lot more up-tempo. The big battle scenes, basically, when she's at war, are kind of like a cacophony of blasts in the air, and, you know, orderly and visually, you kind of feel like you're right in there with her. It's very well done. The visuals, because DC films have always been very visual, it's got to be said. The visuals here are fantastic. They're really, really entertaining to watch, but they're not over the top. I think they fit in perfectly with this superhero type of storyline, to be honest with you. Wonder Woman herself, Gal Gadot. Now, obviously, you know, you were saying that you liked Linda Carter back when she was...
Didn't say I liked it, the programme. I do remember it. I'll go as far as saying I remember it.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, Gal Gadot, I think, perfectly fits the role, because the whole film rests on her shoulders, because everybody needs her to be great in the film. And she is very, very good. She's great at action, non-stop action, but there's a subtlety to this character. She's quite smooth, quite quiet at times. She'll sit there and take things in. She's not all guns blazing. She's not all swords, you know, swinging everywhere and everything else like that. So I think it's a very, very good performance that's got a lot of things going on for her. She's ably assisted by Chris Pine, who plays Steve Trevor. He's kind of the butt of all the jokes. It's kind of funny to see him... take on this role and actually, you know, he's happy to be the butt of all of the jokes as well. And Lucy Davis, who obviously used to be in The Office, she's in there as well. She's very funny in it. She's like the comedic sidekick, I guess you would say. She's got some great lines as well. So overall, it's a really good cast. I'm really impressed with how they've put this together. I've got a couple of small nitpicky bits, but those are very small bits. I'm not going to say what they are, because realistically, it doesn't impact the overall storyline, which I think is, one of the best DC films we've had. By the time I'd finished watching it, I've seen it twice now. By the time I'd finished watching it, I did feel like I could pick up a tank and throw it at somebody, or, you know, I could take on the entire world, because it makes you feel empowered. That's the great thing about this film. It does make you feel like you could do anything.
Yeah, I noticed that your muscles are sort of starting to burst out of your T-shirt at the moment, so it's obviously having an effect. So give us the rundown again. It's called...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And DVD, Blu-ray, online, you know, it is...
Is it in 3D?
Yes, it is in 3D as well. I haven't seen it in 3D. I would say there are a couple of scenes I wouldn't mind seeing in 3D, actually. There's a couple of really good standout action moments in it. It's good film. I wouldn't say it's good for the entire family. I possibly think you have to be a teenager or above to probably appreciate some of the more subtle World War aspects going on in it.
I'm in the above character.
Right, well,
I'm
me
not,
too.
I'm not a teenager.
Yeah, but no, I think it's a great film. I really do like this film.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Mark's here there telling us about Wonder Woman and also a couple of films that are doing the rounds at the moment in your local multiplex. You've probably got one quite close to you. Make sure you go along and support it. Otherwise, it might close down at some time, and that would be sad, wouldn't it? It's Phoenix FM, and Mark will be here next week. Right now, time for this.